Hello, Profit Insider. It's Siyama Parker here. Welcome. This is issue one of Profit Insider's letter. This is the August issue of 2021. Basically, it's our maiden issue. So welcome and thank you for being part of this. So this is me now taking you through the letter that I sent you. And after this, what's going to follow is a live Q&A, which I will send you a separate email about, and we'll be answering your questions. So let me talk a little bit about this letter. Before I go into it, let me talk a little bit about this letter. Firstly, I was quite surprised, I must say, after I received my physical copy from the printer. And I started going through it and reading it. Oh my God. There were parts where I wanted to hide myself. Seriously, because I started picking up errors, typos, unedited parts. And I was like, oh my goodness, how did this pass? But then I've been in this game for a long time. I've been writing for years. I know when you publish a book in particular, you will always find typos. So in many ways, the approach that I take when I write books, I realize now I should have taken the same approach writing a letter to you because I was like, this is a letter. I can write it and quickly edit it. It's just a letter. Surely I won't, there'll be no errors, right? Well, I was wrong. I didn't do what I normally do when I write books, but when I write books, I literally print out, even if it's a 300-page book, I would print 300 pages and I would have a pen, a highlighter, different color pens, going through it line by line because you know that it's difficult to edit your own writing. It's difficult to edit what you wrote because it beca it, it, it you become too familiar with the text. So I didn't do that here. I did not print this out before I sent it. And I also relied because part of it, my printer said, hey, send it to me, send it to me. I'll proofread it. I'll proofread it for you, which it did. To be fair to him, it did. And he sent me, I think, page 11, and I quickly chased that. And I felt so confident because I was like, surely he would have picked up something. I was surprised when I got my physical copy and I realized that no, he also didn't pick up. I mean, especially tip number five. Oh my God. Tip number five. Let me talk about tip number five before I even get into this now. Tip number five was a record, it came from a recorded lesson that I gave to some of my clients a while ago. And you know how I speak. I'm very relaxed, I'm very casual. So as I was reading it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is not written. So what I did was because I wanted to include that tip, I wanted to include it. So I asked one of my colleagues, I said, please, can you pull out this from that recording and transcribe it and just edit it and clean it up and then send it to me? So when it was sent to me, I might have maybe I just skimmed through myself because I was partly excited to be releasing this letter, but at the same time, I was under a lot of pressure because I decided very late last month to finally launch this letter. That's why you got it, in I think beginning of the second week of the month. But ideally, I want these to go out very early in the month. For instance, from next month, already I'm getting the copy ready for the printer so that within, the first few days of the month, it goes out so that you can receive this recording early in the month so that we could do our live Q&A round about mid-month to still leave you time to take the actions that I'd like you to take. But the first one, like any first thing, things that could go wrong do go wrong. I had to forgive myself and I apologize to you. Hopefully you'll forgive me. The goal of these things is that they'll get better with time. It's almost like releasing software. Having been in business for so long, I know that that first release, you don't want to kill yourself because of mistakes that you make there. What you want to do, though, is to learn and then put systems in place for improvement. It's like a company that releases software, Microsoft, Apple, or whatever. It will always be buggy. You know, that first release, whether it's an iPhone, if you still remember iPhone 4, the whole world, people going crazy, you know, because it had so many problems. And I think when they released maps, people were driving off cliffs because the map was taking them in all the wrong places. To all the wrong places, and they had to fix it. So I tend to be like that with the first release. So what I've decided to do, first of all, I do apologize to you because you're probably wondering, but Sia, what did he drink to write like this? You know, especially like I said, that tip number 5, because it was a recorded tip that was not properly edited. But we've gone through it, we've cleaned it, we've found a lot of other typos, and we fixed them. So what you're looking at now on your screen is actually the edited version of the letter. It's not the one you have. So this one has been now cleaned up, it's edited. So what I'm gonna do, I'm actually gonna resend this to you. So when I'm sending you next month's letter, I'm actually gonna send you this one as well, so that you've got the up-to-date, edited, clean copy. So I will resend this to you. But I want to suggest something, though. The ideas are clear that I covered here, and I'm going to go through them now with you, and I'm going to discuss them with you. I don't want you to wait for the other one to start taking action. If you have not taken action yet, please take action. Please take action now. And if you've got questions that you need answered before taking action, send those to me so that we could deal with them on our Q&A. So that you could continue to take action. I gave you 22 ideas in this letter. And what I want to suggest is that every month, what if you could just take one? Not all of them will resonate with you or your business, but those that speak to you, what if you could just try it? It's all about, I mean, as you can see the title, 22 ways to inject capital into your business, into your small business without banks or government agencies. What if you could, even if you don't need to inject capital, I just want you to practice these. Even if you don't need the money, I just want you to get into the habit of using these things so that should you ever need to implement them, you've tested them. So let's just call it an experiment, okay? There is a recommended action that I put in the letter. I would suggest that you start with that, but you don't have to. You can start with something else. But my goal is that do take action this month. And next month, even though I'm going to send you another letter next month, I would still like you to revisit this letter, pull out one idea. Even if you talk to me and say, see, I've chosen tip number 15 or tip whatever, and I want to do it, and I'm thinking of doing this, 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 and that. Can I just chat with you? Can you guide me? I'm always willing to do that. I'm always willing to do that because I really do want you to implement what we are teaching and what we are learning here. So let's go through this letter that I sent you guys. I'm actually going to read. I don't think I'm going to take this style all the time when I do these kind of recorded masterclasses because in some cases I probably just teach the concepts. But for this one, because I've got all these concepts, I think it's easier if I just go through them. You know, to go through the whole letter basically with you. Even for people who probably haven't read the letter, this will be a good opportunity for them to listen to me going through it, reading through it. So I'm gonna do a lot of reading, and I'm gonna do a quick explanation or summary of each point that I'm gonna read. Another thing I'm gonna do for you is that I'm not just gonna give you this in this video format where you are reading along with me. I'm also going to have an audio version of it. Why would I do that? Because I want you to be able to just listen to some of these ideas when you're driving, when you are exercising in the morning, when you if you're like me, one of my favorite chores that, you know, it's not even a chore, I do it because I need time to just be in my own head, is washing dishes. So sometimes I just get up and not put dishes in the dishwasher and just literally decide to wash dishes. Why? is because I've got a lot on my mind. So there's just something about standing there, looking through the window. And for me, I'm just talking about myself. So typically, when I want to listen to something that I want to learn, I would, you know, put it on my phone, put on my headphones, and I would just wash dishes, you know, with my headphones, either my Bluetooth headphones or my the ones with the cord, whatever. But I would just put them on and I would get lost in what I'm doing. So if you're like me, if you've got a thing like that, whether it's doing your garden or washing your car, I don't know, whatever it is that you do that feels monotonous and you just get lost in your own head, I would suggest that you kind of take these audios and listen to them, because these will spark ideas in your head. You know, because the goal really is that we take action on these. I hope you get that. So let's look into this. So let's start with this important notice. This is basically, what do you call this? Disclaimer slash, I don't know what they call this, but let's call it a notice for now, right? The Prophet Insider letter is published by Sia Mapogo and Mapogo Research International. The contents of this letter are drawn mostly from Sia Mapogo's own extensive experience, not from theory. That is true. So everything, as you will discover, everything that I put here is something that I've done, and I do talk about where I got some of these ideas from. Because of the nature of the contents of this letter, it is necessary that we give you the following notice. This publication is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is so with the understanding that the publisher or the author, Sia Mapogo, are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, financial, or other professional service or service advice, I would say, in the form of this letter, written or recorded material, meaning this recording. The publisher and author view this exercise as information sharing for educational reasons and intellectual entertainment. If legal advice or other expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. Meaning if you need a lawyer, if you need an accountant, or financial advisor, do get those people who are licensed to give that work, because I am not licensed. I'm talking to you as an entrepreneur, as a fellow entrepreneur, just sharing my experience and saying, hey, this is what's working for me. This is what has worked for me. This is what has worked for my clients. This is how we did it. If you would like to try it, here it is. So take it and do it. But if you need legal advice on whatever you're doing, I'm not a lawyer. I really just want to state that clearly. You know, Sia Mapogo has invested over 16 years of intensive research work to support his own experiences. In writing this letter for you, we know you are going to find it both valuable and enjoyable. Some of the contents of this letter are so effective that you must use them with total integrity and complete honesty. We are also of the view that businesses that deserve capital are those that can create value with that capital and those that can generate positive returns on that capital. So that is something I believe strongly. Okay, everybody wants to raise money, but it's important to be clear what for. What are you raising money for? So let's continue. Dear Profit Insider, this is our maiden issue of our monthly Profit Insider's letter, PIL. Had to come up with that, right? I was like, should be PIL. Let's keep it short, right? This Profit Insider's letter contains 22 ideas that can help you inject capital into your small business when you need it without going to banks or government funding agencies. Most of the strategies in this letter were conceptualized by my late mentor of 10 years, Mr. Bill Gibson, and I used them all. The rest were conceptualized by me, and I used them too. In 2007, when I was raising capital for my first business, Bill, or Mr. B, as I affectionately called him, that's what I called Mr. B, literally till his last day, he sent me a document with 17 ways to raise capital. this document was a major boost for my business because I applied the majority of the ideas he gave me. My team and I became so creative that we ended up coming up with another 10 or so of our own idea, of our own strategies. And over the years, I've tested over 100 new ideas of my own, all thanks to Mr. B. In this letter, I'll share most of the ideas Bill gave me and a few of my own that I've used and still use to build my businesses and those of my private clients. So what happened in 2007, just a bit of a backstory for you, was that we were running, it was my first year, I started my first business late 2006 after I quit my job at Investec. We ran out of money. Well, first of all, we needed to start raising money from the first time, when I started. I had some savings, but I quickly ran out of cash. You always think when you quit your job, you will have, you always think you've saved enough. Let me just put it like that. Until you realize that, gee, money just disappears pretty faster than the time you thought it would cover you. So I started raising some capital, but we needed to raise a lot of money. And at the same time, we're starting a business. We hired people, had about 10 employees. We ran out of money because it was just hard to, we were spending it faster than we're able to raise it. Let me put it that way. And Bill used to bail me up a few times. And then the one time I still remember, it was around, I think, September 2007, when we finally ran out of cash. And I called him and I said, Bill, I've got salaries, I've got payroll. Can you please lend me 100,000 rand? Ah, jeepers. And I was stressed out of my mind. I could literally feel gray hair growing on my head. And I was like a kid. I was like in my 20s. And Bill responded. Said, yeah, I'm sorry, man. You know, I don't know what I can do for you, but I really don't have that kind of money right now. But after a few, I think, hours, he said, send me a message. I'll send you something. So he sent me this document. And I remember at first I was really frustrated because I was like, what am I going to do with these ideas? I need money, right? So I didn't implement any of these immediately, right? Because I was really just in that running around trying to generate or raise that 100K to cover my payroll. Then October hit. And the dust settled a bit, but the pressure was still on. We paid salaries. But now I'm like, what are we going to do now? And that's when I started going through this document and I started selecting some of the things I think I could do, I thought I could do at the time. And I started implementing them. Some of them, of course, didn't come off the first time or come off immediately, especially when you're under pressure. Sometimes it can be difficult to raise money. And also for me, the one of the ideas I couldn't use was the idea of friends and family and all that, because I didn't have any family close by. And even the family that I had was not in a position financially to assist. So I really had to dig deep, basically. But we implemented, and we literally had a calendar in advance. We said every month we're going to try two of these. That's how I ended up going through all 17 of them. And I enjoyed that experience so much that I ended up coming with my own ideas. So up to now at the time of this letter, I've tested over 100 different ways. And the last time I went to a bank for a loan for business, guess what? It was in 2007. I've partnered with corporates. I've done all sorts of things. Now I even acquire businesses. I even acquire business. I've got over 120 different ways to buy businesses without taking money out of pocket. Well, and the owner, in most cases, they still get their money, but it doesn't come out of my pocket. So, but that's a story for another day. So this has been an obsession for me. You know, this whole thing of being a resourceful entrepreneur has really just been a great obsession. And I'm so grateful because now you can put me anywhere in the world with nothing. As long as I've got my ideas and I've got my mental faculties working and there are humans around, I will do some deals, right? I will do some deals and I will make some money, you know? I'm almost thinking about that show, called Undercover Billionaire. I don't know if some of you guys have seen it in the US, Grant Cardone and other people, where they go into a city they've never been to with only $100. And they're trying to build a $1 million business in 3 months. I would love to do something like that. Sometimes some of the ventures I start them with that attitude. I'm like, hey, I'm giving myself X number of months. Well, how quickly can I take this venture to R1 million? You know, so I play this fun game in my own head because I've always just loved this way of being resourceful when it comes to businesses. So I'm saying these words, I'm trying to tell you that I've done everything I'm going to show you here is something I've done, and it's something I'm excited about, I'm passionate about, and I'm really hoping that it will teach you, even if you don't need money, I'm hoping that just this being this resourceful, be used, play, have fun with it. Have fun with these when you do them and see what happens, right? Give them a try. Give it a try and see what happens, okay? And some of you who are my clients in the corporate partnership program have already done some things, you know, that are not necessarily similar to what I'm teaching here. But I've challenged you at some point and I said, hey, go make an extra R1,000. Go make an extra X amount. And you've done that, you know. So you could do these things for sure. Now, so let me continue then. Bill arrived and started doing business here in South Africa in 1994. He was an entrepreneur for about 50 years of the 72 years he was on this planet. And he borrowed and raised millions of rand for himself and for ventures of other business people. Most of the time, the money was raised initially without banks or the government. Bill wrote the foreword for my book, Conversations with JSC Altex Entrepreneurs. And here is a short excerpt talking about how our relationship started. So this is Bill, this part that you see here in this typewriter font was actually Bill. This is what he wrote. I literally took it straight out of my book. In October 2006, these are his words. In October 2006, while touring the country, speaking to small business owners sponsored by NetBank Small Business Services, I was approached by a young, sharp entrepreneur. He immediately purchased my audio CD and manual program, boosting sales and profits with focused selling. Within weeks, he followed up with feedback to me on how he was implementing the information. A few weeks later, he met me on a trip to Cape Town at 11 p.m. That's p.m. at night, right? On another trip, he came to see me at 7 a.m. Before I knew it, I was one of the main business mentors to this young, dynamic, sincere business owner, Siyabonga Mapopa. This story is crazy because it's exactly how it happened. So I quit my job in July 2006. You know, when somebody starts, I don't know if you guys remember how you started, but I was in that mode of, I need to learn about business. I need to learn. So these seminars were kind of a new thing to me. So I attended a seminar and Bill Gibson was there and it was organized by NetBank. And indeed, outside he had a table, he was selling. I still have, by the way, this program. I have all three programs that go together with this, boosting sales and profits with focused selling. So I asked him, I talked to him, the author, or the creator of the program, and I said, which one should I buy first? Because I can't buy all three. So he said, tell me about your business. So I told him about my business, and then he recommended the sales one. He said, man, if you're going to do anything in business, you got to learn how to sell. So start here. Do everything that it says, go sell. And then when you make money, come back and buy the marketing one. When you make money, come to buy the entrepreneurship one. This was back in 2006. And indeed, I followed up with him. I went through the whole thing. Like within 2 weeks, I zipped through it. It was a big, thick file with lots of video, of audio CDs, but I went through it because I was hungry and driven. Then I called him and I said, look, I've gone through this. I just have a few questions. Can you please help me? And then he said, and I asked him, when are you coming to Cape Town? He said, well, I don't know, Sia, but I do come there, you know, to consult with clients. And I said, when you come down next time, please let me know. He said, actually, I'm coming to Cape Town next week, but I don't think I'll have time to do anything because I've got 3 days, early mornings to late to early evenings, and I'm having dinner with these clients in the evening. I said, I said, what day are you coming? He told me. And then I said, where are you going to be staying? He told me. And I think he was starting to be suspicious, right? And then on that day, I called, you know, called him in the very early in the morning. I knew he was still having breakfast. I called before he started his training with his client. And I said to him, can I see you today? I know you're in Cape Town. Can I see you? He said, I can't because I'm having dinner with clients. Long story short, I then kind of twisted his arm that, can I see him after his dinner? Can you just call me after his dinner? I'll come to where he was. And I was staying in Cape Town CBD. He was in, I'm trying to think which hotel he was staying at. I think he was in the waterfront. I said, just let me know when you finish. Even if it's 10 o'clock, I just want to come say hi. So he called. That's how we got to meet at 11. And then the other time, he really didn't want to meet again because he was really hectic. I said, okay, what time are you having breakfast? He told me. And I was there in the morning, you know. So our relationship grew. And then we became friends literally till the day Bill passed. We became such friends. I actually remember the Sunday before Bill passed. He's just inspired me so much. Huh? Bill passed on Thursday morning. On Sunday, he asked me to drive him to the airport because he was flying to Cape Town to give to training, 2 days of training. And he was literally terminal at this stage with stage 4 colon cancer. In fact, he wanted to drive to the airport. He drove, and I was sitting next to him, and he had put on his sunglasses. And we were driving out of Sandton and driving down Marlborough. And I was like, I could see on the side, because I'm sitting on the front seat, I could see on the side that he's falling asleep as he's driving. And I wake him up. I'm like, hey, Mr. B, are you sure you don't want me to drive? Anyway, we drove all the way up down Marlborough. We joined N3. As we were doing that hairpin on N3 from Marlborough, he stopped. He said, no, see, I think you must take over because we're about to join the freeway, right? So I took him to the airport, came back, picked him up when he got back on Tuesday night. He was exhausted, eh? And then on Wednesday, his condition really, really worsened. And then on Thursday morning, I slept at his house that Wednesday. The morning on Thursday, he left us. I mean, since day one when I met Bill until that day, we became such great friends. He taught me so much. I think that's part of the reason I wanted to start this letter with these lessons from him, because it's actually one of the things I want to include in future letters. As much as they're going to be focusing on different topics, but I will probably include a segment in future letters where I share with you some of the wisdom, because I don't want that wisdom to kind of be forgotten by me in particular. And I also don't want it to just blend in and as if it's my own wisdom. I want to have this small segment, maybe at the back of the letter, where I just share something from Bill. I'm still, remember, this letter, by the way, I'm still conceptualizing it as we go, right? What was a goal for me when I was putting this letter together? I wanted it to be simple. I didn't want too many distractions for you. That's why it's plain, simple. White paper, black ink. There are no features, none of that, because I don't want you to be distracted. I want us to make the main idea, so that we don't follow other distractions. Because I've subscribed to other people's programs, and there are too many distractions. As I said, it was hard to implement those things. Anyway, I digress, guys. So let me come back to the message, right? So that's how we met, and all the way, like, till the end, 2006 October till March 2017. And I even moved up to Joburg because I was based in Cape Town. I even moved up to Joburg. We shared the office. We worked together. We worked together on a number of projects. We literally saw each other daily, even on weekends. You know, we were such great friends. I miss him dearly. During our many telephonic conversations and face-to-face meetings, I shared with Sia. Sorry, let me read that again. During our many telephonic conversations and face-to-face meetings, I shared with Sia 17 different ways to raise money without going to the bank or the government. He has used virtually every one of them. And remember, this was written in 2008, guys. It was actually written in June 2008, literally less than a year after he gave me those 17 ideas. So I was still implementing some of them, but I had already started doing most of them at this stage at the time he wrote this, because my book was published in June 2008. He has used virtually every one of them with tenacity, innovation, creativity, honesty, integrity, and 80 to 90 hours per week of work. Sia has successfully launched iCaptive, which was my first business back in the day, here in South Africa, while still writing this phenomenal book, which is what this is an excerpt, as I said, from the book, Conversations with JCL Tech Entrepreneurs, to help other business owners and entrepreneurs make their dreams come true. It is a bonus if a bank or government funder loans or grants you money for your business. As business owners and entrepreneurs, we need to explore all of the avenues for raising capital and funding our own growth and not totally rely on banks or government if South Africa is truly going to be an entrepreneurial-driven business society. That is true. That is true. We've got to be resourceful, all of us. I'm going to share these 22 proven ways to raise money, and this may open up avenues you haven't thought of before. Ready? Okay, then let's dig in. Okay. Anyway, so the first thing, obviously, I started with here, and it's important that I put emphasis on this, because I really want you to use what I'm sharing here. I mean, it's a joy for me to be sharing these ideas with you. I needed this outlet to share some of, you know, the things that have influenced some of the things I do today. And some of the ideas I'm going to share with you are things I'm doing today. For instance, this coming month letter is about how to have unlimited budget to grow your business. I mean, I'm excited about it. I'll tell you my story. How is it that I always have unlimited budget to grow my businesses? And I'm going to take you behind the scenes how I do it. And you're going to be like, what? This is easy to do, right? But people don't know that they can do it, and they don't know how to do it. So I'm excited about the upcoming letter, because that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how I never worry now about raising money. I mean, about growing my business, because I always have unlimited budget, which I will reveal how, okay, in the upcoming letter. So let's look at this one. How to get value for your money. How can you get the best value out of this month's and every month's Profit Insiders letter? This letter brings to you tried, tested, and proven to work ideas that anyone can use should they decide to do so. So here's what I suggest you do. Someone is trying to send me a message while I am busy recording this for you, so I better switch off this phone, okay? Right, so here's what I suggest you do to get maximum value out of your Profit Insiders membership. Number one, set an intention to use this information and to get results from it, preferably quantifiable financial outcomes. So take ideas out of this, use them, make sure you bring in money. That's it. Number two, read this letter. In fact, study it with maximum focus, with colorful highlighters and pen in hand. Use these to highlight all the ideas, sentences, and paragraphs that resonate with you. Use your pen to make notes on the margins of the letter, right on the side, on both sides. Make scribble there, okay? And between the lines, allow yourself to make this letter messy, okay, with your own notes and your own ideas that get triggered by what you read. So pay attention to what is coming up for you as you read these things. Don't just rush through them. As you read, don't ignore ideas that get triggered in your head. So please do pay attention to those, and then use, you know, scribble on the side so that you don't forget. Capture those ideas as they come and just write on the margins, right between the lines, okay? As you read through each of the tactics, ideas, strategies shared here, keep asking, how can I implement this idea this month? At the back of this letter, please use the provided space to record all the ideas, all lessons you got out of reading this letter. Make a commitment of the action you will take this month and ask yourself, what kind of financial results could you could get over the next 12 months? Because it's not just about this month. This information now is yours. It's in your hand. It's entirely up to you what you do with it for the next 20 years, for the next 30, next 40, next 50 years. It's now in your hands, okay? So ask yourself, what can you get out of this month? All right. There is no limit to the number of times you can use these ideas. This letter is for keeps. You don't throw it away after reading it once. You can use these lessons every single month and keep profiting from them. If you commit to implement all the lessons that come to you every month with each letter, you will start to see a compounding effect. Those are building on each other, basically. Keep in mind that one idea implemented can pay for your full year's membership in Profit Insiders. In fact, how about you make that your goal? How about you make that your goal in any of these letters to say, you know what, I want whatever idea I'm going to implement, I want it to pay for my full year. You can do that. You can do that. There's so many, even in this letter, you could implement one idea or two ideas and generate enough money to pay for your full year of this program. I actually make that, have fun with that. Make that your goal. After reading this letter, you will also get access to a recorded online masterclass where I teach the same concepts covered in the letter. I'm doing this to help deepen your understanding and hopefully improve your confidence to try and implement these ideas. The more we understand something, the more confident we become in our ability to do it. Remember that you are not alone. You've got me by your side. You know that already, because most of you are already my clients. Even if this is our first engagement, now you've got me. Okay, so you're not on your own in this. And I'm teaching you things I have done, things I have deep understanding of, and in some cases, things I still do in my businesses. Please do not hesitate to ask me questions when you do not understand. Lastly, we have a live online Q&A session every month to help you get all your questions answered, to eliminate any resistance or reason you might have to not take action. Clarity is power. Please write down and submit any questions you have so they can be answered in our live Q&A session. So I'm appealing to you once again. Any questions that are coming up, even as you listen to this, just pause it, scribble them, and send them to me, please, because I want to answer your questions when we have our Q&A soon. And a separate email, obviously, is coming with the date and all of that, okay? And it will be recorded. If you can't make it, still send your questions. Even if you can't make the date, send your questions, because I'll answer the questions and everything will be recorded, but your answers will be there for you. Right. Capital injection tip number one, your five personal assets. There are five assets that we all have that form the backbone of our capital raising efforts. No matter where you are in the world, no matter what's going on in your life, you'll always have some of these assets. You need to protect these assets for the rest of your life because they are there. Let me go through it. The first one is time. You woke up this morning and you got a nice fresh day to do with it whatever you want. I mean, think about that. You woke up this morning, brand new, fresh day, full, packed full with time. Well, so do billionaires. they wake up with a fresh day too. Henry Ford once said, "It has been my observation that most people get ahead during the time that others waste. Billionaires focus their time towards growing their wealth. Time is one of the most powerful assets you have to generate money. What is your time worth? How much is your day worth? How can you make money with your time today?" Asset number two is energy. There are people who have no energy. They could not get out of bed today. Mostly, it's due to health reasons. Some are terminally ill. Most of those people cannot generate money. Most of those people cannot create value for their clients. Your energy is an asset. Do not take it for granted. So, how can you make money with your energy today? How can you use your energy to create value for someone today? Ability is asset number three. This encompasses a lot of things: your knowledge, your expertise, and your skills. If you've been alive for more than 20 years, you have enough life experience to know something someone can pay you for. Think about the fact that when some employees get an MBA or another postgrad qualification, they get a salary increase in recognition of their perceived additional abilities. These abilities are seen as assets to the company. If you really think about it, you've been paid for things you've done for people before. It was due to your abilities. What can you do for someone today that they would happily give you money for? Oh, I love this question, because I ask myself this question all the time, you know, and things come up. I could do this, I could do that, I could do this. You know, some of the things that have become part of our business, they came from asking this question: what do I know that can benefit someone so much that they would be happy to pay me for it? Right? You've got those. You've got those. No matter what's going on in your business, no matter what's going on in your life, you've got those. And then number four is reputation. You can have time, you can have energy, you can have ability, but if your reputation is bad, it's going to be hard for people to give you money. So you need to protect your reputation. Even banks do not touch you if you have a bad credit reputation. But fortunately, bad credit record is fixable. But I'm referring to character, honesty, and trustworthiness. People give money to people they trust. So your reputation, protect it, okay? Guard it, watch it with your life. All right, the last one, the fifth and last one is money. This may sound ironic, but yes, the fifth asset is money. You can actually use money to make money. Money is actually one of the biggest leverage tools we have. It could be 1,000 Rand that can be leveraged to become 5,000 Rand. That's what I do all the time. Every week, I leverage money to make more money through advertising. And that is the truth, okay? Sometimes I invest 10,000 Rand in advertising, and then 7 days later, I generate 50,000 Rand in new sales. How much can you leverage today that can become a larger amount in a week or a month? All right? And then capital injection tip number two: the rule of 10. Before I embark on a capital raising campaign, I do a simple exercise that only requires a pen and a blank notepad. I write numbers 1 to 11. Next to number 11, I write approach banks and funding institutions. So I make that the last thing I do, basically. From number 1 to number 10, I think of 10 things I can do or 10 avenues I can explore to either reduce my capital requirements or to raise a portion of the required capital before approaching the bank. Should you decide to adopt this approach, the idea is that if or when you finally approach the bank, you can submit a document outlining what you did to raise the money you raised. That demonstrates your resourcefulness and your abilities as an entrepreneur. A few years ago, I interviewed two business bankers. They revealed the details of what banks look for when they evaluate loan applications. The ideas below should help you with some powerful strategies. So let me talk a bit about this. As you know, I haven't raised money from banks since 2007. Part of the reason is that I end up coming up with ideas that solve my problem. I hope you get that. So when I do that 1-11, I want to come up with such killer ideas that I never have to do number 11, which is go to the bank. So that's number one. Number two, people who have done this after I've advised them, what they've reported was that they ended up reducing the amount if they needed 2 million rand, and they make a list of all the things they want to buy with that money. And then they do this exercise to figure out how they can eliminate some of those things from the list, how they can get some of those resources either through corporate partnerships or other things. They end up reducing that need for 2 million rand, maybe to about 500,000 rand, which is now less money than they initially needed. One of the things I advise them to do is that when they do reach out to their banker, they must show the banker that they actually needed 2 million rand and then show the banker what they did to actually reduce that amount through resourcefulness. Some of it may be money, using some of the strategies that I'm going to share. Some of it is that they may end up raising some money from an external source, from other sources. So they also, then they have cash that they can use to put down as their own contribution to, you know, when the bank gives them the loan that they're looking for. So there are many benefits in actually taking this approach and doing these things. So I'd love if you can just try this exercise. Even if you're not going to execute on it, can you have some mental fun with it? Just make a list, literally make a list of 1 to 11. Can you come up with 10 things? Even if you're not going to do them, can you come up with 10 things that you can actually do to raise some of the money that you may need? All right, guys. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to break this recording. I'm going to break it here. And we're going to call this part one. And then I'm going to start again with tip number three, and then continue, because I don't want this to be a long document. I mean, a long recording. I want to have breaks for you. So I'm going to stop right here, and then we're going to pick up on the other side with part two, or track number two.